The only five websites I check out are the five best websites of all time. In the Points, In the Points, In the Points, In the Points, and Passion of the Wise.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Live from the Red Lion, recorded in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Live from the Red Lion is a Jarnair Networks production, brought to you by In the Points, Season 3.
What did you guys pick Coomerling for a particular reason for like the official shot?
I feel like we used to do Kill-A-Pitch a lot, and it's just a lot like heavier. And Coomerling, A, it's cheaper than Kill-A-Pitch, but B, I think it's smoother.
It's a better drink, and if you ever come down the Red Lion, shout out to the Red Lion staff. Thanks shout for out. Having us as usual. They got the $3 shot of Coomerling.
Like, don't get me wrong, we're not cheap. We go all out.
Yeah, we just like spending less money if possible.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it's a good shot, and I feel like it's kind of like just the single shots are like a cool little thing that make it stand out. I try to find them online, too. I can't, like, find them anywhere.
They don't have, like, a fire Twitter?
No, yeah.
All right.
Bruce. Oh, there it is.
Right. Hey, yeah. If you're Coomerling and you're listening, Bruce. Your social Bruce. Media, Bruce. Just sponsor Bruce. Us.
Bruce. And we're live. We're back. And we're in the points. And we're live. And we're live. We're back. And we're back. And we're in the points. And we're live.
Gross.
And we're
gross.
Back. And we're back.
Back and we're go.
At the Red Lion.
And we're live.
Seems risky to cheers over the audio equipment.
Live from the Red Lion!
Hey, and we're back.
Well, there is a German rap song about Kill-A-Pitch that Mike showed me.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that before I showed it to you?
No, you showed it to me.
Yeah. I was like, damn, that totally sounds like, I thought it was you, man.
Yeah, but it's hilarious. I have no idea what they're saying, but the chorus is something about Kill-A-Pitch.
Kill-A-Pitch! Kill-A-Pitch!
I was going to say, speaking of bodily fluids, I had an interesting moment today. I lived near a Goodwill thrift store, and as I was walking out with a Raiders shirt, some teens, maybe they were like 20 at the oldest, hit me up and just go, "Hey, is your piss clean?" And I was just like, "Yeah, I hope so." Like, cause I don't smoke weed or anything, so yeah. It's like, and they're like, "Hey, can you pee in a bottle for us? We're trying to get jobs through the Goodwill," and they just started drug testing. And so in the moment, I was like, no, like, I'm a little uncomfortable. Like, I appreciate that you guys are trying to get jobs, and, like, being drug tested for weed sucks. So I walk around the corner to my house, and I think about it for a moment. I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to be a better person. Like, I should help these kids out. Yeah. So I did. I pissed in a fucking bottle, and wow. I put it in a plastic bag and gave it to some 20-year-old.
That's hilarious. I hope they were actually using it for their piss test and not
Yeah, I mean, I hope it wasn't some, like, use for fetish porn or something. I feel thinking. A little exploited. I'd seen them hit up other people in the Goodwill, too. It was two guys and a girl, and the girl was, like, talking to some other teenagers who were clearly really high with, like, there were three guys listening to headphones separately and, like, bopping around the store and, like, rapping to themselves. It's like, you could have picked anyone, but you picked the guys who were clearly high to ask for clean piss.
Should we give a little intro of our guests? Jake, you want to take the intro?
Oh, yeah. So we are at the bar, which is called Red Lion, which is in Silver Lake, which is in Los Angeles, which is in California, which is in the United States, which is on planet Earth, which is in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a Silver Lake native. I'm a writer for Passion of the Wise and other music websites. I literally grew up the hill, and when Will texted me about 5 minutes ago, I panicked and backed out of other dinner plans and drove down the hill. So this is truly my stomping grounds.
Hell yeah. And that's our guest, Tori McAdams.
Who the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that? No, damn well who I am. Who the fuck is that?
Introducing himself. I like that. Yeah, nice. Sorry. I always love doing less. Like, that's great for me.
I didn't mean to.
I didn't mean it like that. Yeah.
It's an ongoing joke that I think Jake's getting sick of messing
up
the intro.
No, I just, it's difficult to remember it in a moment's notice. But that's Tori McAdams. Sitting next to him is Rick Engelstrom, Dr. Mike. And sitting next to him is at Willie DeSquid on Twitter, Will
that's
Hagel.
Me. Hello, hello. I want to go straight into an interview question just because I'm feeling the flow of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Should we start out? We always start.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We should start out as we always start. Right. Why don't you take it?
Jake, you want to take it?
I don't know. I might botch it. Why don't you take it?
All right. I got this. What do you think of the weather today?
It was another beautiful LA day. My cat was sleeping outside, and I was writing some bullshit content for a website I won't name, and I felt pretty jealous that I couldn't go outside and read James Ellroy with him. We've earned each other's respect. I saw him fight a cat, and then I kicked some other dude's ass in front of him to show him what it's like, you know?
Just because I'm feeling the flow, I'm going back into my flow of I want to ask the interview question.
Please.
Jump in.
What's your early... So you grew up in Silver Lake. That's
true.
Not the question.
Yeah.
But what's your first... Or what's your earliest memory of coming to the Red Lion? Do you have one? Or what do you remember about the Red Lion in the 90s? Or just Silver Lake in general?
So obviously, like, the Red Lion's a bar, so I came here maybe once as a kid for like a meal, but at a certain point you just like can't enter.
That's
you know,
true.
Let kids in.
I just feel like I've seen kids hanging out here, but
you
yeah,
can,
I guess it's not
like
the
seven,
ideal place.
Seven
yeah.
or eight, they allow kids.
Yeah.
No, I was actually thinking before the podcast about how different like this block is from when I was growing up.
Yeah.
The Silver Lake Public Library was just an empty lot.
Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!
Oh shit!
The sort of generic boxy post-Soviet condos across the street was another empty lot. Rockaway Records is where Gingergrass is.
Mm.
Wait. Rockaway was where Gingergrass is.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And I think it was actually had a different location even before I was born.
Oh, really? I didn't even know. I've ever known it from the spot it's in now.
Yeah, it used to have a yellow tile around. It was actually kind of distinct looking. There was an auto body shop kind of to like where like the library ends, closer to like that complex where Rockaway is. I don't know, it's interesting to see the neighborhood change because it also has become significantly wealthier.
Right.
My parents moved here basically because it was like affordable and kind of hip, and I mean my dad's a writer, so it wasn't like he had a lot of income, and
yeah.
it was affordable for them. But I don't think that's like an experience a lot of kids are gonna have.
Yeah,
growing
up now.
Silver Lake.
I feel like it's like now those are the kids growing up in like Highland Park or something, or just
yeah,
like East LA.
I think that's true. Yeah.
Like the artists moving east or whatever always happens. But
yeah, one of the odder things is I went to Marshall in Silver Lake for a few years,
uh-huh.
and the school is significantly wider now. Like my cousin went there a couple years ago, and it's just like wider every year.
White people be crazy.
They do.
I don't know. I mean, it's just classic gentrification, but I never really thought about like the school populations changing
yeah.
that quickly and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was it when you went? Was it mostly like Latino or what?
I was mostly Latino. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my parents were gentrifiers, and the neighborhood was Latino and gay, Latino then gay, and then family started moving in.
Yeah.
But it's just progressively gotten wider and more family-oriented.
And if you want to come test, bring your ass down to Silver Lake in Sunset. We'll see what's next.
But, yeah, also, like, just I've only been here a year, or living, like, in this neighborhood for a year and a half. And I feel like when I moved to Silver Lake, it was already, like, fully gentrified, whereas, like, Echo Park is gentrifying more now. And even, like, when I was here, Echo Park was, like, not the neighborhood it is now by any means. But I feel like this patch of Silver Lake has been the same for, like, 5 years at least or so. But now, like, we've been getting these... I'm still going. No, I'm still going. But now we've been getting these letters in the mail because... Our closest liquor store, Silver Glen Liquors. I don't know how long that's been there. Probably not that long.
Wait, Silver Glen on Glendale?
Yeah.
Oh, that's been there forever.
Yeah. So
since probably before I was born.
And it was like a pet store and Lulu Subs or something, which those closed down a while ago. But now I guess they're knocking them all down and putting in this like giant condo.
Oh shit.
Oh, shit, I had no idea. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, and so, like, the neighborhood's kind of been rallying against it because it's going to, like, I guess there's, like, not enough parking for the residents that are in it, so it's going to, like, jam up parking around the area.
Well, that was
and
sort of...
just also, it's just another
one of the
condo.
Issues with Measure S was it's, like, yeah. Our current building code stipulates that I think for every unit there has to be a parking space.
Oh,
and
really?
And so it's increased urbanization means, like... more cars or more spaces for cars, and I think that's one of the things people want to change about the building code is the parking space allotment.
Yeah. What did you think of did you have any thoughts either way on Measure S?
I mean, I'm for increased urbanization, like as much as it like affects how I view Los Angeles as a place of, you know, single story bungalows and front and backyards.
Yeah.
Like I realize that housing the homeless is more important than like how I perceive certain neighborhoods. I think NIMBYism is basically the big issue right now in LA. And
what is
NIMBYism?
We got something in this country. You've heard of it. It's called NIMBY, NIMBY. Not in my backyard.
What
not
is that?
In my backyard. It's a planning acronym.
Like don't come, like gentrification, just, basically.
The idea of NIMBYism is that you're theoretically in favor of like social services and like urbanization, but you just don't want it.
You don't want it.
You know. Yeah.
And like keep it on Skid Row or something.
Yeah, it's like it's gonna be. LA's just not that city anymore. Yeah, I guess the idea is that LA's in its like third iteration. The LA Times' architecture critic Chris Hawthorne has a thing about like LA being in its third iteration, and like in that there's no more sprawl, and that everything is sort of becoming more centered, and we're gonna have to become a more modern city than we have been.
Yeah, third wave LA.
More or less, yeah.
So, let's get into ska.
Yeah.
I told y'all, suckers! I told y'all, suckers! I told y'all!
ITP season 1.
Yeah, I told you, get on!
ITP season
2. Now you still ain't believe me, so here we go!
ITP season 3. Season 3.
All right. What were you saying, Mike?
All right.
Anyway,
we're back.
I saw a test mode here. How's everyone sounding?
I think we're good.
I think we're sounding good, yeah.
So we had some technical difficulties, yeah. But we ordered the Fricadella. I got some. Tori's got the crack hour coming.
And I didn't really.
Shout out to the Redline staff.
Shout out.
I didn't really even like the point I was going for, but now that I thought it through, it kind of went like this. I feel like I came to USC and I kind of talked to like locals and. Even, like, always getting, like, a lot of backhand stories from, like, Lyft drivers who've lived in the area and stuff. Like, it always sounded like Silver Lake kind of had their, like, gentrification, like, 15 years or so ago. And it, like, still going. Echo Park was, like, a lot of, like, 5 years ago to now. And then even downtown, that was, like, almost, like, since I've been out here and I've seen it kind of happening before my eyes. So it is interesting to see that process and just the way the, like, city develops in that sense. So I definitely know what you're saying.
Downtown's interesting because my parents divorced and I lived with my dad in downtown for a couple years at the end of high school. And it feels like downtown went from just impoverished and kind of desperate to douchey like that.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't like a period of settling in where there were like a lot of artists because they'd already left in the 80s. It just became like generic brew pubs and like a Whole Foods.
And it just like... I made a point too earlier that was probably off the mic because it was a recording, but just to clarify, I was like talking about how the gentrification of downtown has felt weird to kind of watch because while I'm sure there's like a lot of condos and stuff have gone up in price, there's been this huge push to all these warehouses and like this like weird grabbing an area and making it like all this development on top of it. So wait, is it working?
Yeah were just like you were talking this way and holding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's been weird to see because it's like I've had friends who've lived on there, so it's been the mix of like those apartments going up in prices and like that mix of like, you know, a lot of low income housing suddenly becoming maybe
high
like super
housing.
Expensive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then likewise, you go down the Arts District, you know, like you pass probably Alameda and suddenly these places that were just like storage are suddenly huge complexes they're building with like gyms and coffee shops next door, and so it's this weird kind of massive transformation, like you're saying, overnight, like, there wasn't that flip at all, so...
Yeah, CrossFit is like the Krav Maga for the invading gentrification force.
Yeah,
I'm going to deadlift the poor out of the neighborhood.
You heard it here first.
I'm always amazed at Office Depot.
Oh, yeah, Little Tokyo?
There's one, like, in Little Tokyo. It seems like they always have, like, some prime locations for Office Depot. There's one on Sunset, like, right next to, like, Amoeba Records, and, like, imagine how much they must be paying for that, and every time I walk by, there's, like, three people in the store. Just a weird observation. I don't know. Maybe
is
that's
Radio
just,
Shack out of business or still in business?
I think it's out of business because the one in Silver Lake, I think, is closed.
I went in the other day, though, and got some batteries, but it was, like, everything must go.
Did you break into an abandoned Radio Shack?
Jake might be able to answer this because they might have had a certain bankruptcy filing where they could stay open.
Me?
Why are you?
Oh, like a chapter 13 reorg? It's not my specialty. I had to take a class in college, and they covered it for like a week.
Yeah.
So. I don't really know that much about it. Okay. I just know a chapter 13 is
on the spot.
Like a reorganization of the company's debts as opposed to
So they can stay open in the meantime.
Yeah. That is the extent of my bankruptcy knowledge.
Listen, we've hit the big stuff tonight. Yeah. Radio Shack, you know, we've hit the Frickadella, we've hit Downtown CrossFit, we're coming to you live for the Red Lion, classic institution here, Cha-Cha Slide, yeah, and I'm having a good time.
I never go to Cha-Cha.
And Cha-Cha, when you're talking about how this used to be a gay neighborhood, I know it used to be a gay bar, like, even within recent history.
It's basically all used to be gay bars. I don't think the Red Lion was ever explicitly gay.
The Cha-Cha was?
Yeah.
I don't go to Cha-Cha because that's like the Hard Rock Cafe of my life. I feel like I go in there and I see like four people from high school, but I also see people trying to tour Silver Lake.
Yeah.
And they're really just getting like the memorabilia.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The guy I grew up with, I think, used to go there to pick up like moms or divorced moms. Successfully, I should add, in case that's like something you guys are looking for.
Did you say in high school?
No, or a guy you went to high school?
I was like, okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Picks up moms at Cha-Cha.
Interesting. Yeah.
So do a lot of the Silver Lake, like, youngsters who grew up stick around this neighborhood or, like, live with their parents and stuff like that? Because that's what, speaking of gentrification, like, in people I've known who've grown up in New York or, like, other big cities, San Francisco and stuff, end up, like, living at home just because it's, like, their city becomes ridiculously unaffordable.
They do stay in the area?
Yeah, or they, like, live at home and, like, just stay in the neighborhood and it becomes, like, a little small town within a big city.
So I'm a privileged white person.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, my friends all went to college pretty much. And
got out.
Got out. Yeah. But I do have a lot of friends that stayed in the area. As far as staying and living at home, I think most of my friends are out. The ones who I think still live with their parents, I don't associate with anymore.
Because they live with their parents or because?
Oh, yeah, I'm anti-parents.
Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Fuck parents.
Fuck parents podcast. And thank you, Dad, for getting this podcast on the air.
In the parents, yeah, ITP.
Did you guys see that survey about what, like, media institutions teens think are cool? That was making the rounds on Twitter.com.
Yeah,
no.
It was like a mix of heard, like, are aware of it and how cool it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
What were some of the top ones?
The bottom ones, I think, were Wall Street Journal was dead last, unsurprisingly. Yeah. And second to last, Vice.
Wow.
Wow, that's surprising because, like, Vice has that stigma of being, like, the hip, like, news channel.
It's interesting. I wonder if Vice is aging out of teens, or someone else proposed, and maybe this was just like too defensive, but maybe teens don't know what's cool.
Yeah. Well, we're at the top.
Personally, I didn't know about Vice till like I was like 20, probably. But also, I could see that too, that the age that kind of joined Vice ages with them in a sense.
Either that or they just can't afford HBO. It's possible.
I think a lot of Vice's more juvenile antics probably were gotten rid of when Gavin McGinnis became a Nazi and their editorial staff aged. I don't think they do fashion do's and don'ts and stuff like that anymore.
No, they. I think they're essentially market themselves as like the premier, like in depth.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like their TV show goes.
Well, they are partially owned by Rupert Murdoch now. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think
it's not a controlling stake.
That's probably why then, because teens dislike Rupert Murdoch, as has been shown over history, because he's lived for 200 years.
Dude, teens are so woke. Do you remember being a teen? You wake up so early. Wake up at like 6 a.m. on the weekend just to play your PlayStation. Man, being a teen is easy.
I feel like... Oh, yeah, go ahead. You got this. I got
this
nothing.
This is half of our podcast.
Okay, you go. No sorries, though. I'm not apologizing anymore.
Yeah, season
anymore.
3, no sorries, no edits.
All right, fuck you, Will. I hated being a teenager. Fuck parents.
Is it too late now to say sorry?
Is it too late now to say sorry?
Sorry.
I'm sorry, but I feel like it's like Vice became like the once you become an institution.
Yeah.
Then it's like, maybe that's just obvious to say, but I feel like they had the like, or it started as like punk rock magazine type thing where they were just doing whatever.
Well, they started the magazine, I think, using a government program in Canada. They were heroin addicts and had gotten funds through a job program to start a magazine, but they were basically using it to pay their rent and score drugs. And they had to produce something just to prove to the government that they were actually working, and that was Vice.
Really? That's amazing.
Imagine all the drugs they can buy now with their money.
Apparently, Shane McGinnis is a huge douchebag, according
really?
To
oh, really?
People I'm close to in blood.
Gotcha.
Shit on Shane McGuice. What's his name? Shane McGuice.
Shit on.
Does anyone go to websites anymore?
I ask because I'm not sure. Do anybody make real anymore? Bad when the presence of greatness.
Like, do you ever go to just vice.com and just see what's new?
You're seeing versus being directed through,
like social media
like
or like someone's
Facebook
like, check this out.
Like,
yeah.
Just organically type it in your browser.
No,
yeah,
I only do it, but with like a handful of sites. Because I know you were asking me because I'm the guest. But I have like Economist that I check out. I check out New Yorker and Guardian. But that's mainly just to see what's going on in the world. And then it's like all, I guess, what people tell me. Like, just tell me where to go.
The only five websites I check out are the five best websites of all time. In the Points, In the Points, In the Points, In the Points, and Passion of the Wise.
I get all my news from Pornhub, so I'm about 10 months behind the news cycle because I just wait for porn versions of the news to come out.
That'd be a novel idea, porn,
I still
like
think
porn
Lisa
news.
Ann was a vice presidential candidate.
What's that?
I still think Lisa Ann was a vice presidential candidate.
she definitely nailed her role in that one.
That was good. I got that.
It's all I can do. Yeah. That's pretty much what I'm here for.
No, one strike, one hit. Strike out, one hit.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. My thing was just, I see what you're saying, that we live in an age where you're kind of directed to your media. I feel like a big issue is when the internet was coming. I remember like my dad telling me like I was probably like 10 or 12, and he's saying how it's already changing the way that like a newspaper might be read versus the internet, where it's you're seeing a certain amount of things, and now we're on like the tertiary level of that, where a site is directing you to the things on that site that are already very selective. So it's kind of a very give-and-take relationship of the info you get.
And you were like, fuck you, Dad. Fuck parents.
All right, let's go.
I don't like the newspaper. Yeah. It's for parents.
Yeah. In the Points is not for parents.
No parents. Parents.
You know, I want to get into street sweeping just because we love going through the streets of L.A., and I feel like we've got a real L.A. local today. Not only that, a Silver Lake local. I want to get your five top streets of Los Angeles. And they can be spread out through the episode as they come and go. But, you know, if you got any you want to shoot out right now, we want to hear.
Beat. This is the first things that came to mind were Sunset. Which is the most stereotypical choice, but I don't know. It's important. It stretches basically the entire city. And
is there a segment of Sunset that you like?
Yeah.
So I feel like
the part in front of Tiki T.
Yeah.
directly in front.
The 12 feet in front of Tiki T.
Is that the porn theater?
No, it's a Tiki. It's a Tiki bar.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's I think LA's oldest Tiki bar. It's okay. It was family-owned and operated, so until last year, you could actually smoke cigarettes inside.
Oh, okay.
it's a pretty obscure part of the law where you can only smoke cigarettes in bars that are owned and operated by a single family.
Really?
Yeah. No cigarettes inside anymore, though.
At all. Because did they change the law? Or
I think they must have hired someone outside of the family, or they just didn't want people smoking cigarettes in their face for 8 hours a night.
Yeah.
It's just you're basically smoking in your bedroom with 25 other people, what? Sipping drinks with umbrellas,
and one old guy in Hawaiian shirt at the bar.
That's actually me.
just for me, because I'm only been here for about 8 months now. What are like the
just
cross street?
Gentrifying the city, man. Get out! You gotta get out of here.
What's the cross street for Sunset and what is Tiki T or the closest?
Sunset and Hollywood,
Hillhurst.
I think is the intersection.
It's where it gets all weird.
Cheetahs?
Right kinda by Vista Theater.
Yeah. It's right by Cheetahs.
Okay. Yeah. Shout out to Cheetahs.
Shout out Cheetahs. My uncle once got in a fight outside of Cheetahs. He didn't get in a fight. He was with his friend Chris, who's also a very large man, and so it was supposed to be a 2-on-2 fight. And I think the fight started just because bad glances were exchanged, which is a really stupid man way of settling disagreements.
Yeah.
But my uncle was supposed to fight this one dude, and they just stood off to the side while my uncle's friend Chris kicked some dude's ass. And at one point, I guess he was rubbing this guy's forehead into the sidewalk like a cheese grater.
Shit.
And this guy was telling my uncle to make his friend stop, and he's like, I don't know. Like, you make him fucking stop it. Make your friend fight better.
Yeah. Like, the two other people just wandering off. Like, these two guys are fighting, and these two guys are like, hey, you're pretty cool. Like, and just grabbing a drink.
And they become friends.
Yeah.
I want to give a rest in peace to Acapulco restaurant.
R.I.P.
On across from Tiki T.
Wait, you were always talking about it. It closed?
Yeah.
I never went.
Is that the one we went to that one time with Colleen?
It was like
that was El Chavo, but I think that
Mexican
closed too.
El Chavo,
right?
Also closed. Yeah. Yeah. R.I.P. El Chavo.
R.I.P. El Chavo.
Great margaritas.
Before
also
my eyes.
The. Circuit City across the street, a guy I went to high school with was running from the cops and jumped off the roof and broke both of his ankles there. He became a serious addict and would carry around a cooler, and he wouldn't tell anyone what was in it, and the rumor was that it was a human hand, but I can either confirm or deny that.
Wow. Way to bring the podcast down again.
Yeah.
Just as we were going up. Yeah. No.
I thought that would be a humorous anecdote.
No, that was a humorous anecdote.
Do you have a street number 2 lined up? Or are we
I don't know. How about Central Avenue? It goes from downtown all the way through South LA, and Central Avenue was where all the jazz clubs in LA were. It has a pretty indelible spot in LA music history. Okay. Basically every important jazz musician in LA played clubs there or lived near there.
Kamasi? Or was he too late?
Too late. I think Kamasi, Washington, and Thundercat grew up, I mean, they grew up in South LA, but Central Avenue has long since ceased being a staple of.
How old is Kamasi Washington? Mike.
save it for the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a mic. Yeah.
Okay. Seriously, how old is Kamasi Washington?
Well,
we don't need to look it up, but.
I'm going to look it up. Why would I not look it up?
Because Thundercat is like 30-something, right?
Thundercat's 31 or 2. I think
Kamasi Washington. Thundercat's 31, I think. Kamasi Washington's the same age. Is what Troy said.
Wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think Thundercat's about 31 or 32, and Kamasi Washington's the same age. They were raised together, more or less. Their dads, I think, played in the same group for a while.
I've never seen He's either 36. One live, but both of them... very respectable artists and very great stuff out there.
What did they say?
I don't know.
People talking shit to us. All right, I'm ready to podcast.
I think that's the first time we've ever been shit on.
Yeah,
and
we're
the shit on.
What happened?
So,
I don't know. I couldn't hear what she said, but someone just talked smack to us.
I don't want
to. Tori's got a nice big crack hour he's cutting into. I got a fricadella going. We got another pitcher of Bitburger on the way. Things are looking up for the podcast.
As they say in Germany,
kill it, bitch!
Let's start the podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4. And we're live, we're back, and we're in the points. And we're live, and we're live, and we're back, and we're back, and we're in the points. And we're live, and we're live.
All right, so That was a good intro. All
right, and we're starting now, live.
I want to go mix in the, with the street sweep in. We're doing our classic segments. I want to mix in the street sweep in with the On the Record.
Yeah.
Because we brought up the jazz.
And we've been way too slow to get into this. I want to get On the Record.
Yeah, On the Record, the 4 points, all of it. We're talking music. Because I know when you said, when I asked you to the podcast, you said you can pontificate on the artistic merits of rappers.
Oh, that's all I can talk about. Exactly. I'm a complete ignoramus otherwise.
Yeah, so like everything you heard about Measure S and gentrification of LA is probably made up, but...
It's all fake.
Oh, yeah. I actually grew up in... I grew up in the Midwest. I just moved to LA last week. I don't know shit.
But can you talk to us about some classic Midwest rap? Like,
I don't know. What do you...
Like Juice Box?
I don't know Juice Box. I think I heard you talking about him the other week. This the rap rock guy.
Yeah. So it was a callback to
Evan
Gabriel. Shout out to Evan Gabriel. Shout out to Paul Thompson. Shout out to Jeff Weiss.
Shout out.
Passion of the Weiss series continuing. On the Record.
I don't know what Midwestern rappers are you guys into?
Well, I'm from Minnesota, so you know anything rhyme series is important to us. In a biblical sense, we worship.
Yeah, Brother Ali is the governor, right?
Yeah, he's the governor, and
Slug's a district attorney in Minneapolis, St. Paul,
and just keeps going down. POS.
POS is
a
chief of police. Chief of police, yeah.
I'm big on that growing up. And that was just kind of like a thing. Like it was like no matter who you were, like everybody listened to it, and it was pretty cool. But yeah, just on the record. I mean, Midwest aside, or just what you've been listening to. Yeah, curious to get your thoughts on the current atmosphere that's out there right now. That wasn't supposed to be a pun. That wasn't supposed to be a pun for the record.
I was actually texting with Jeff Weiss of PassionOfTheWeiss.com today about how I feel old. I'm 27, which means I'm about 87 in rap years. I'm completely washed up. And we were talking about the sort of current crop of SoundCloud rappers like Lil Pump, Ski Mask the Slump God, XXXTentacion. Basically, I'm too old to listen
I've heard
to
of all know, those people.
I don't know any of those people.
I'm too old to listen to any of these rappers.
Yeah.
And that was my claim. And he's like, no, they're just third generation like style ripoffs, and you're actually right. But I don't think that's true. I feel like I'm washed up.
Well, I think you're washed up, and I think I'm washed up too, because I used to feel the same way when people would talk about just like classic rappers. I mean, or just like all these new rappers suck. Like, I can't even think of any.
What do you feel like? You feel like
Soulja Boy, Mike Jones, like
when you were like younger, and people would like pontificate on the days of Biggie or something. Did you feel like not that you didn't like Biggie, but that you felt like you didn't understand their context of like viewing it at the time?
Or I was just like, you're old, you know, fuck parents, yeah. You know? And it's like, music is a young man's game, and the older I get, the more detached I feel from it. And basically, I agree.
I was listening to Kodak Black album today, which, by the way, I think is very good, and I realized that he's 3 or 4 years older than rappers who are breaking now within like the last months or so. And it makes me feel all fucked up. It's like, I shouldn't feel old listening to a 20-year-old rapper, but I guess that's the current state, or like that's how fast culture moves now.
Yeah. Well, also you had, now that you say that, didn't you have like the first Kodak Black interview on the internet?
Yeah.
How did that come up? If you're going to read any of Tori's writing for all our millions of listeners in Pakistan around the world, check out that interview. I think it's a great interview.
Oh, thanks. I think it still does a lot of traffic because it's cited on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, I didn't know it was cited on Wikipedia, but...
I think it's my only citation, but...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I heard his music on SoundCloud, like one does. And it was actually my first interview, too, and I hadn't really written professionally. I was just writing for Passion of the Weiss, and... I reached out to a phone number I think he or his manager had on Instagram, and I ended up interviewing him. He was talking on the car phone in his Jaguar. So the recording of the interview it's not unlistenable, but I had to spend a lot of time transcribing, more than I would have had it been like a more normal situation. But yeah, I'm glad I did it. I kind of got him at a very tender time in his life. He was 17, and really just only popular in Pompano, so it was probably kind of a novelty for him too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, what songs did he have? Did he have even any songs I would know out at that time?
He had that first mixtape, Project Baby, but that wasn't a thing. It was just online, and I think there were a few videos because he had a manager. I think is currently in prison, who was a sort of a ambitious character named AD. And AD would take these sort of quote-unquote like video diaries and of Kodak Black running into liquor stores and putting CDs on the magazine case or whatever, or handing them out car to car in Pompano. And that was kind of how I realized he was a regional star. He was a complete internet unknown, but these videos, there would be 400 teens rapping his lyrics back at him, which is sort of improbable in the internet age. That, like, that's a thing. Like, those people don't really exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now that he's a star, I guess I can claim to have discovered him, but that's not really true.
Right. You helped his discovery.
I guess. I don't feel comfortable taking that much credit.
I don't mean, like, you were the soul or you necessarily did more than anybody else. I'm just saying, but you were definitely someone who helped him.
I've been thinking about this. I do wonder how famous he would have been had I not written about him. But, like, even that feels like I'm taking too much credit. If it wasn't me, it would have been some other, you know, Caucasian, white as hell, honky rap writer.
But also, realistically, saw the interview who probably works at one of the most hated media publications by young people, Vice or like any other site, and,
and like maybe like start picking them up. Because
that's how it works, you know. Yeah,
and I think that goes back to the kind of recurring thing we've had on this show is kind of the talking about where does like criticism stand and its values, and it shows that like just the conversations and the bounce back and like the you know, it does more than I think we realize that like. And I'm not a music writer, but as like a secondary source, I think of myself as like the times when I've been interested in an artist and I've Googled them and I found certain like things on them and I pass that around, that those interactions in a multitude, in a sense, kind of build up and like it kind of builds a certain like mindset of someone. So I think my point being in that wide statement I just made that has no real point is that like, You guys, as the music writer, shouldn't sell yourself short. Wow, that was really nice of me.
That's very kind of you.
Yeah. Also, I
sell myself short every morning when I wake up.
When I was listening to Kodak Black's album, I actually had a similar thought where I was like, am I just really old? Am I way older and way whiter than I think I am? Because...
Yes.
Well,
sorry.
The answer to that is always yes, but... Yeah. Also, I was just thinking, like, is Kodak Black still in jail? Because I haven't been following his legal proceedings.
I believe out on bail.
Okay.
So this is sort of the other consideration, and I'm going to bring the conversation down again. Sorry, guys.
Go for it.
But he's currently facing charges allegedly raping a 16-year-old girl.
Holy shit.
And so I don't know. I don't want to take credit in any way for his fame if like that's the result, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense, but
saying,
also it's
yeah.
not really related, you know, like
I figure if I hadn't written about him, he still would have gotten famous and he still would have been in the position, or she would
either he would have gotten famous or he wouldn't have, and he could have done something like that, and it's a fine line.
Yeah, it's a critically uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah, I mean, that those actions could have happened regardless of whether or not he was famous.
Exactly.
But from a fan's perspective, which like it happens more and more, like we were talking about Louis C.K., if we didn't edit that out, how he's creepy, and like the dude from Manchester by the Sea was accused
Casey
of all this
Affleck.
Like creepy sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
On and on and on, Bill Cosby, on and on and on. And it's like the question, I feel like it's like the question of the age is whether you can support an artist who, Freddie Gibbs, basically it's because Freddie Gibbs and Kodak Black's album came out on the same day. So I was thinking a lot about it.
Well, dude, the whole Freddie Gibbs thing, too, like, kind of tossed me for, what's the word? It kind of questioned my thing. It was like, I guess it's like he went through the process of the courts, and he...
I'm just saying, hold the mic to your face.
Hold the mic. What? I thought I got it right. I feel like, you know, he went through the courts and he did his thing, and it sounded like he was acquitted, right? So it's like, who am I to say? But also, it's just kind of like,
yeah,
you never know in this day and age. And I mean, not to put it down on the record, but just since we're live, I don't know what happened, and so I don't, you know, I don't.
I mean, my first thought of when Freddie Gibbs was arrested was that Europe is just racist as hell. And
yeah, it's like,
I don't know. That's might be a wrong thought to think, but
most places are racist as hell.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is like, I don't know.
But like, he went in front of the courts. He did his thing, and it's the weird thing. It's like, you know, guilty until proven innocent, but then like how the public views you as well. So
yeah, and I mean, speaking specifically of Bill Cosby, I mean, I just recently watched the first of the two new Chappelle stand-ups on Netflix, and he definitely talks about it. Similarly, Gerard Carmichael has talked about it on his show and his stand-up.
Cosby.
That, like, what's that?
Talks about who?
About Bill Cosby.
Okay.
And how, like, yeah, that's obviously bad, and, you know, we're against it, and we don't support him. At the same time, it's like, you can't just forget everything that someone like, which obviously there's a difference between Bill Cosby and Kodak Black, but just the idea of what they did before. I mean, it still happened. It still permeates your thoughts.
Separating art and artist is hard. It's like it's our natural mode to separate the two.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I think increasingly it's a dicey proposition, especially with a 24-hour news cycle and Twitter and Instagram or whatever.
Right.
So, lighter topic. I don't know. What are you guys listening to recently that has less to do with sexual assault?
Yeah, we could really go down like Law and Order and In the Points all night, which could be a new topic, but it's...
And the basic thing is we're never going to get to an answer on that, especially us sitting on this patio talking.
You should have your own answer. I mean,
what I've been listening to, I've been listening to the new Thundercat recently. That was dope. I was driving up to Palm Springs and I was like pretty behind in the tide, but it was great stuff and it kind of fueled me through the night. I was just like in the zone listening to that. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I love that record. I actually interviewed him somewhat recently for Fact Magazine.
Oh, nice.
He's a very, very kind man.
Uh huh. Like really humble guy.
Bitch, be humble. Holla, bitch, sit down. Holla,
really humble guy.
Bitch, sit down.
Huh? Really humble guy.
Yeah, he's a parent to a 12 or 13 year old daughter and a cat named Tron. He has a lot of songs about Tron. It was a good interview. We talked pretty in depth about his views on life in LA or life as a black man. The album I think is fantastic. It's probably the best album this year so far.
And to tie it all together,
nice.
I saw Thundercat standing in line in front of me at the Louis C.K. show at the Forum.
Yeah.
That was a pointless anecdote, but hey, there's people we've talked about. Yeah. But yeah, my whole thing is like, I don't know anything about jazz. I feel like I've said it before, and I never really liked Thundercat as much as other people did, but I kind of respect it, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's good, and I probably just don't know why it's good. But this is the first album where I was really just like, maybe because it's more poppy or something like that, but I feel like I really could just like put it on and it all just like flows together. I think you were talking about too how it's like basically all one song.
Yeah, the first and last song basically sound the same, so you can listen to it in a loop.
I kind of feel like the whole thing.
Yeah, I never like even noticed that until you said it now. Very true.
I really like the first song too. It's the I Feel Weird one.
Oh, yeah.
Weird, comb your beard, brush your teeth, still feel weird, feed your meat, go to sleep.
Yeah, it's kind of a dark album, but he does have a fantastic sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially about, about himself and
society
at large.
And especially with jazz, is like, you'd expect jazz to be like at a university with a bunch of white people in tuxedos.
But thanks to La La Land, that's all changing.
I don't know.
Just that was a joke.
I haven't seen La La Land. What do you think of it?
I thought it was a cool movie. I think it's worth seeing. I think it's you know, visually it's really cool. I think it's an interesting story. But I mean,
struggling white man in love.
No. I just mean.
I didn't mean to be. No.
It's fine. You caught me in sort of verbal diarrhea. What I mean is, I thought it was cool to see essentially jazz being on a major stage because I am a fan of jazz and the whole hashtag listen to more jazz movement. And so, yeah, I thought that was really cool. But I wouldn't say it was like the greatest movie of the year, even.
I feel the same way as you two. It's like, I actually thought it like handled jazz in kind of a nice way. And at the end of the day, though too, it's kind of like, is this just like another white guy, like trying to like take in a whole culture they doesn't understand. But it's, I think you can make the point that, you know, it's there at times, but it's not the full case, but that in the points is,
I think In the Points is better than La La Land.
My point being that I thought it was a pretty good movie. I feel a lot of people are on the love and hate spectrum, and I was on the, it's pretty good. And I didn't think it was on Moonlight good. I was on the Moonlight bandwagon. Wagon. Yeah. Did you guys say wagon or wagon?
You said wagon.
Oh, okay. Wow. I never know what the AG words with the accent. But you, with my, I'm from Minnesota. But yeah, I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, this is our first Passion of the Weiss writer who's not from Minnesota, though, so it's a little switch up for
us.
Well,
I was going to say, I wanted to save it for the mic. I was going to bring it up beforehand, but I see you're wearing a Stars jersey, which came from the North Stars in Minnesota, so in my eyes, it's still a Minnesota writer.
Yeah, I'm not actually very into hockey. I have a lot of family in Dallas, though, which is why I have the jersey. Also, just because I like how it looks.
Yeah.
Hockey jerseys are the one jersey I feel like you can just wear regularly.
Dude, hockey
regularly.
Jerseys are dope, yeah.
Soccer jerseys, I guess.
Like,
I wear a lot of jerseys, but I'm also a complete moron. So, I don't know, take that what you will.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't see a lot of football jerseys worn anymore. Like, I feel like growing up, that used to be a big thing around, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, that totally was.
But, like, a lot of, like, Marshall Faulk jerseys and, like,
I always loved
John
it, though,
Elway jerseys or whatever. But
I think, like, you got to have a lot of balls. No, that's not the right word. We live in 2000. What year is it? 17. We don't say that anymore. I feel like you got to have a lot of, like, you know, you got to have a lot of energy to go into a different sporting event for, like, an NBA game and wear a football jersey or go to a hockey game and wear a basketball jersey. I kind of just want to start doing that more often just to be that guy.
Just a fan of sports.
Yeah, yeah. Just, like, the guy who's, like,
I like activity.
Sports.
Yeah, you wore, like, you know, you wear a Kobe jersey to, like, see the Rams play, and someone's like, damn, dude, I like the Lakers, too. Like, they see that, and they're like, I get it.
I always thought that was interesting when you go to Dodger Stadium and people are just wearing random baseball hats. Like,
yeah.
You're just a fan of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not here for a specific player or team. Just the sport itself is enough.
Yeah. Or when the NFL plays in England, it's just the whole crowd is just wearing different
football jerseys.
Oh, yeah,
just random shit. Yeah.
That's like, I have several hats from just different stadiums I visited. Like, I have a Fenway Boston hat, went to the Cubs, so I have a Cubs hat. And I'm a Twins fan, but I just wear them around. And the amount of times people have, like, asked me, are you from Chicago or are you from Boston, like, and try to strike up a conversation it's amazing. And I could play it off and just, like, shoot the shit and pretend I'm from there, but I always play the, like, awkward guy and I say, oh, no, I'm not. I just went there one time.
I do the same thing in L.A. is, like, I have, like, a Cubs hat that I wear a lot, but I don't want to wear it around LA and just be that douchebag who's like can't give up his roots and like wearing the Cubs hat.
I also don't feel
like I'm like cool enough to wear a Dodgers hat, you know what I mean? So it's like I just don't wear any hats.
I wear sports stuff on a semi-regular basis and people always try to strike up conversations with me.
It is a good conversation starter, I guess, but
I have a Blackhawks jacket, and so because Chicago's such a big city, there's a million people from Chicago here, and they always want to talk hockey. I'm just like, I'm actually just an idiot.
I just like the shirt.
I don't know shit about Chicago. I've never even been to Chicago.
That's what one of my friends got, a Cardinals shirt, like from, it was like tying it back together again from like a Goodwill or something. And he was wearing it. I was like, why are you wearing that shirt? Like, you're from Sacramento. Shout out to Austin Quinn. But I got like pissed off and he was like, oh no, it's just a shirt.
Yeah. Getting angry at strangers for a piece of attire they're wearing, unless it's like a Nazi insignia, seems a little futile.
Yeah, or just putting I don't know. Any like,
unless maybe it's like the day after like a big, like a really big,
yeah,
like a Super Bowl like game or something. Because then it's it would have to be deliberate. There's no way you would randomly wear that jersey. Yeah, right. I mean, still, it's a little childish to get mad at somebody, but also like, you're still kind of in that moment of like, okay, it just happened.
All right, yeah. Keep it rolling. Tori's going to the bathroom.
Yeah, so speaking of jerseys, of New Jersey, bring it back, tie it all together.
All right, we're going to play my new game called
Jersey Mike Subs.
We're going to play my new game
called... We get to save at some point.
We're going to play my... Do you guys want to play my new game? It's called Cold Like Minnesota. What we're going to do is dip our dicks into the Bitburger, and we're all going to yell, "That's cold like Minnesota."
All right,
let's get it.
Yeah, one, two, three.
Oh!
Because it get cold like Minnesota, 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 cold like Minnesota.
Ooh, it's cold.
Oh, and we're just killing time.
My dick is burnt off. All right, let's do a quick.
And we're all standing up.
Yeah, I was going to do a quick meeting if you want to go on the mic on doing
movies. Yeah.
Oh, I had an idea while I was walking over here. I say we should ask the Red Lion how much it costs to rent out the entire patio, and we should throw a party.
We should invite all of the guests that we've had.
Yeah. Let's look at Jacob.
Invite everyone we know.
Dude, I want to do an ITB company retreat.
Yes.
I want to do an ITB.
Oh yeah, Mike was. Yeah.
ITB company retreat in Koreatown, and all the shareholders can come. And the shareholders are people who've bought shirts. And
that's great.
And we go to a restaurant.
Karaoke bar.
Then we go to a karaoke bar, and then we go to
Weespa.
What? We spa. And then we all look at each other's dicks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in for the last part.
Yeah.
I'll show up late.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just did that right now, so that's all we needed.
And
we're back. Tori's back from the bathroom, going in on the crack hour. Feel free to, if you want to put down the mic and eat, you can. Yeah. But if you want to pick it up, and jump in.
Was lit.
Is that what the youngsters say these days?
But yeah, so yeah, we'll talk more about the meeting later.
Yeah,
more about the ITP retreat. So we were talking about music a little
Artistic
bit ago.
Artistic merits of rappers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're
I think we should get into that.
I think we started a lot with the idea of our age and how age reflects upon music and what we're listening to. But I want to get into, and we kind of went down what we're listening to. But I want to get into. When you go out and you're doing a profile on someone, I know you're Eden, I feel bad interrupting.
He's got the mic in one hand.
But,
he's podcasting like a pro.
No one listening knows he's Eden. What are you kind of like going
Not
for?
To tell them.
When you're doing like a profile on someone or kind of some kind of background story, what do you kind of like to view or come at it with?
So, I do not have any journalism degree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I have broken rules that I think a more serious journalist wouldn't. But I generally try to come in without preconceived notions of the story I'm going to write. So I try not to ask like leading questions or try not to have them fit into like the narrative or story that I want to tell, but tell the story that they want to tell. I realize that sounds incredibly cliche or purple, but yeah, I guess I just try not to trying to come in with like an idea of what I'm already going to write.
No, and I think that's helpful too, to not have a full set kind of like algorithm of it's going to be, you know, this to this and we're going to go with that. But it sounds like, especially from kind of like the school of Passion of the Weiss, you guys can shoot me down for using that phrase if you want, but it sounds like he kind of has like a real lesson of like how he wants you guys to come across stuff. And just not even that, but like you're set to a certain standard that you're all like, even though you might not have that journalism degree, that you still have an idea of like, you're going to have a certain standard through. So,
I think that's fair. Jeff's been a pretty good mentor to me in that regard.
He seems like he could be like positive criticism, you know, really kind of help you see what you're looking for.
Jeff, I think by the time I started writing for the site, had really become really busy with his freelance career. So I don't think I necessarily received the same degree of editing that others did, but he's always sort of helped guide my writing. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair, yeah.
Nice.
If you're writing about an album, do you listen to that, or do you read any other reviews about the album?
I think I did when I first started, but yeah, not as much anymore.
But I mean, do you think
just
that
because I don't like music writing that
yeah,
much,
exactly.
I'm an asshole.
Well, because I want to go into shit on, I want to shit on whoever wrote, and if it's someone you or I know, then I apologize, but I want to shit on whoever wrote the Kodak Black.
Reviews on Pitchfork.
This is Shits Fired, brought to you by Squatty Potty.
Yeah, I'm about to double shit here.
I have no idea who. I haven't read them. Which, tell me more, though. I'm intrigued.
I can't.
Yeah, I'm about to double shit here.
I can't remember anything specific about it, and not just because he was a past guest, but I feel like the only writer who writes for Pitchfork that I really like these days is Paul Thompson.
Shout out.
Because he's actually a good writer and actually thinks about things. And like, I'm not going to make any real point that a million other people haven't made, but basically I was like thinking about all that Kodak Black stuff I was talking about earlier, and I just typed in Kodak Black, and it was like Pitchfork thing came up, and I clicked on it, and I was like reading through it, and it was just a bunch of like very surface level stuff that, I mean, I'm not saying anything new, but it's like
Pitchfork's problem is that I don't want to like out their business model too much, but they don't pay that. They don't pay particularly competitive rates compared to a lot of other outlets, and so I think they're basically banking on their cachet rather than an actual pay rate to attract writers. And I think at a certain point, people just get sick of that.
I can see that. So just kind of like, you know, oh, do you want to be on the site or not kind of thing?
I feel like they've also lost their luster or whatever. You know, like they're not as prestigious anymore because indie rock isn't as popular.
What I think a lot of other sites have garnished respect.
But I feel like there's no real site that actually goes in-depth reviews, whereas Pitchfork is still like, we're going to give you a rating and a review, which makes people look at it a certain way, whereas like on Passion of the Weiss or something, it's not going to get a rating, but it might get a review, you know?
Yeah, having a number attached to review, I think, attracts a lot of people. But
because they can have an instant reaction to like, 6.3, no, what?
Yeah,
I was totally
like,
an
8.1. They don't have to actually read anything or like,
digest
what's been said. They can just be like, oh, it's a 7.7. It's not best
that's
new music.
That,
that's bullshit.
And like, whatever the
same
like little
lists,
sum up
end of
is.
Year
yeah.
lists and stuff.
Yeah, that's always shitty when they're like at like an 8 and it's like, but they don't give it best new music. And it's like, ah, fuck you. But I will say that I do like the rating is because I don't usually read the 8.0 plus reviews, but I'll kind of skin them and use them as like a starting point of like what to check out and listen to as sort of like a jumping off point, which is nice, I think.
And for me, I kind of view it like, I kind of like got that love hate where it's like, I'll see it and it'll be like, 8+, and I'll be like, for me, it's like an 8+ means I'll probably like it. Like I can look at it and be like, you know what, I should check out this album down the road. But it doesn't mean that I'm gonna like see an album that's 6 and be like, this is a bad album. It means I just might, you know, be a little less prone to listening to it. But the truth is, like, I'll go on there and I'll have that same, you know, visceral reaction. I remember I checked out like Les Sins, and for me that was like, I was like, this album's like, you know, straight fire. I thought like from front to back it was awesome. I don't know how everyone feels, but for me, I can understand people might not like it, to give a full disclaimer, and I mean, one breath. But the thing is, I thought it was an awesome album and it had like a 6. And I was like, you know, I can't look too much into it.
I kind of think of it as like Pitchfork is my mom and Stereo Gum's my dad. Fuck parents.
You know,
yeah, they gave Maxo Cream's second mixtape like a 6.6. I was over them in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you were also one of the first people I feel like writing for Maxo Cream. Not right, you know what I mean? Writing for, all the above.
Yeah, I'm a big Maxo fan. I support any rapper who carries more automatic weapons than he should.
His album from last year, too, I feel like was the best album that I listened to once. Because I listened to it once, I was like, damn, this is really good, and then I never went back to it.
I would suggest revisiting it. I'm a big Maxo fan. Houston's kind of in a weird place right now where it feels like they're actually lagging behind Dallas in rap.
Really? Because who's from Dallas?
no one
outfit
big, but outfit. This guy C Struggs, who is like the roundest rapper I've ever seen. He doesn't seem to have a neck. It's just like face
oh, yeah,
into
I've
chest.
Seen his, one of his videos.
I don't know. There's a lot of guys. Saint Clair. I like Lord Byron. Curtis Mayes. Yeah. Fat Pimp, Yella Beezy.
Wasn't Fat Tony from there too?
Tony is from Houston, actually.
Oh, really?
But yeah, Houston doesn't seem to have like a lot of really exciting young acts, except for Maxo.
It has the history, but not the.
Yeah, it's a weird moment.
Yeah. What?
Should we wait for Mike or?
No. We'll just keep going. Yeah. Mike's in the bathroom for those listening.
Don't worry.
You should take the mic into there and. Just hold it to the urinal. Urinal.
Or just, yeah. I don't know. What do you think of the podcast? How do you think the podcast's been going so far? Are we doing a terrible job? Or I feel like I'm not bringing the energy, but, you know, we're all pretty low key, just having a good time at the bar.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's going pretty well. Yeah. I'm not the most talkative fellow usually, so.
Yeah.
I would say it was going well until I brought it up.
No, I always got to ask the guests how the podcast is going.
Yeah, but you ever stop in the middle of sex and ask how it is? is this doing it for you?
Yeah.
How's the pace?
Is there anything else we should be talking about? No, that's what I asked during sex. Not
what do you think of Erdogan and Gulen? How do you feel about Turkey's current political situation? Will just keep fucking me.
Oh,
I think Will's been with a different woman every time I've seen him at a party.
Really?
It's only been two, probably.
Do you have a girlfriend right now, Will?
Yeah, I do, actually. She hasn't been to one of your parties.
Has she been on the podcast?
No. She was actually on one of the very original podcasts that's unreleased. Or it's released on our iTunes, but not heavily marketed. So it's for the deep fans. Anna is on the original podcast. Edit that out. No,
should we get a quick
save? We can keep that in. Because she doesn't listen to this podcast, despite me trying hard to get her to listen.
It's okay. My girlfriend doesn't listen, or doesn't read anything I write either, so.
Yeah. I think that's good. I don't know.
It's almost like what's the point of having...
I always wonder it when I listen to other podcasts.
What's the point of having a girlfriend if they don't like... they don't pay attention to your shit.
It's an automatic fan. Might be TMI.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's the point. That's like a big reason why I like podcasts is because people just talking, telling the truth, you know, talking.
And you have nothing to hide.
People having conversations.
I'm a huge liar.
Yeah.
I'm just fucking with you.
Oh, shit.
Is that a truth or a lie, though?
That's a good question.
Find out next on In the Points.
On In the Points, Red Lion Season 3, Episode
5.2.
But also, maybe it's just because I'm like overly self-conscious and not the first to admit it, but I feel like I used to always get like self-conscious about doing any sort of like even writing or something where I'm like, I don't know, writing is basically your thoughts transcribed, and then it's like, and podcasting is basically your thoughts unfiltered and shat out of your mouth. But with writing especially, I don't know. It's like, at first, probably because I sucked,
you have to stand
too.
By.
Yeah, you kind of just have to stand by it. But it's also like, I don't know if I want like everyone I know, especially because I'm not like a stat or like, you know, I'm not writing to like a huge audience. So it's like...
Neither am I.
Yeah, but I don't want just like everyone I know to read what I wrote and then... like pick it apart or something, if that makes any sense. So I think basically I feel like it's almost better if like no one I know is reading it, but a bunch of other people are. I don't know. I hope no one's listening to this.
I do understand what you're saying. I think one of the driving forces in my career is like this weird resentment that I don't fully understand, or I don't understand where the anger and resentment totally comes from, but I did hate a lot of my classmates in college who I felt were sort of lit snobs, but without necessarily the talent or the actual academic grounding to be that way.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I always worry that they're going to read my writing and think I'm still an idiot, you know?
Yeah. Because you went to school for writing or for...
I have a lit degree from a small liberal arts college that most of the listeners probably haven't heard of.
Shout out to Occidental.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good memory.
I read your Wikipedia page before coming here. It was under Kodak Black. See also Kodak Black. See also Tori McAdams. Fresh out of Silver Lake, Occidental. No, but I just remember that from you bringing it up before. But I also, I hate everyone also.
Shout out parents. Yeah. Tell me about parents.
Tell me about
how do you feel about parents?
Parents, I like parents, actually, at this point in the podcast.
It's like I get the idea of parents. I understand they're necessary, but I just don't like them. I don't understand it. It's just stupid.
This is our new section called Parent Trap, where we put on some trap music and we just talk about our parents.
Yeah. We'll fix that in post.
Over a Lex Luger beat, you're just talking about your father issues. Yeah. It's never hugged me enough as the hi-hats drop. Can't find my dad issues on the internet. Real parent shit.
Should we hit the 4 points?
Let's hit the 4 points.
I think we should hit the 4 points. I don't know if you're aware of what the 4 points are, but they're series of four questions. And no problem. I always switch the topic, but I want to go into rap tonight, and I want to do. It's a series of four, as I've said probably 100 times now. The first question is, who's your favorite rapper in the game right now? We're going to say in the game.
I'm going to say Kevin Gates, even though he's currently incarcerated.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Kevin Gates.
Oh, he is?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't know what for, but yeah.
I'm out of the game.
I think it's for that concert incident in which he kicked a fan.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I think Kevin Gates is immensely talented, if immensely troubled. I pretty much enjoy every project he's put out, if not every song. I think he's fantastic and just has a really strange and unique voice and perspective.
Yeah.
And the last I saw him, he was in Mecca. He was on Instagram.
He's converted,
Mecca.
Yeah.
Yeah, in full Muslim garb.
Didn't he get shit for, like, he did something in, like, a photo or something that was...
During his grandmother's funeral, he posted a photo with his hand on her mouth. He said to show that she was at peace, but it looked like he was showing off his watch.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I knew it was something like that, yeah.
That's hilarious. Also, I fully support that. If we're separating art and artists, I'm combining them because that's great.
Yeah, Kevin Gates is hashtag problematic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But also, yeah, his last, has he put out anything since his last album from last year?
I heard he put out a song today, but I haven't heard it. He had Murder for Hire 2 since then, I believe. But I think nothing since he's gone into prison.
What if God was one of us? And just some thug like one of us. Looking for love in the club like one of us. Trying to make it off the slums like one of us.
Because that album was back-to-back hits.
Except for the weird strumming guitar song.
I was about to say, especially the strumming guitar song.
It's called Hard 4.
Yeah. You're the only one that my dick could get hard for. I'm confused. What the fuck you want my heart
for? You're the only one that my dick could get hard for. I'm fully against any
acoustic guitar.
Or as rap song sampling guitar talking about love.
Yeah. What about
50 Cent's 21 Questions?
Does that sample a guitar?
It's a steel.
Yeah.
Is that a steel drum or no?
Is it a steel drum?
I don't know.
That's PIMP.
Oh yeah, PIMP.
Pretty sure that's a guitar.
Dun dun dun. Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
I'm pretty sure that's a guitar.
Exception to the rule.
Yeah. What about Thug's Mansion, New York?
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I hate that song.
Okay. But that could, do you hate it strictly because of the guitar or because it's a remake of Flint's
I just
Nature?
Hate the song in its entirety.
What about Dispatch the General?
I don't know. Enlighten me, please.
We'll drop in the audio sample here. Yeah.
Great song, though.
Yeah, what about Juicebox, you know? Shout out to Juicebox. All
right,
hit the next
Juicebox
question.
Is yeah. playing. And we're back. Second question. Who do you think is the... We did favorite. Who do you think is the best rapper in the game?
Like, technically, or
like,
just...
Yeah, from, like, kind of like a... Maybe a technical objective perspective where you could be like, you know, I think they got it going, you know?
So I've talked with this a while ago with Peter Holson, Passion of the Wise's Egyptian desk.
Shout out, Peter Holson. Marhaba.
Young Thug is weird in that he's sort of like, I think of him as sort of a guitar virtuoso. And that it's not always, he's operating on a weird level that isn't necessarily like technical in the way that we traditionally think of it, but in a way that's sort of innovative and strange. And so I think on an absolutely just nails level, he's the most innovative and sort of strange, and he's always sort of expanding what rap can be or what rap sounds like.
I've never heard anyone put it like that, but it's like, what's his name, like Igor Malmsteen or whatever?
Angry Malmsteen. That's actually, I think, who I compared him to before, is Angry Malmsteen.
Because it's like he's got the full like command of the voice and just style. I'm imagining just some kids in the future, speaking of youngsters, like, kids in like 20 years who are wearing Young Thug shirts and like doing karaoke of his songs and just nailing it perfectly. Like, they have like the technical skill, but yeah, I don't know. It was funny in my mind.
No, it was good. It was good.
I mean, I do think,
but basically, I never thought of it like that, but that's totally true.
Did I cut you guys off?
No.
I was going to say the third question is, say you are introducing somebody to rap, who's someone you would give them? Who's a good person to get into rap? That's kind of like
Big
Ear
Tupac. Oh, you mean active? Is that active
I guess we'll stay along that theme. Maybe like a contemporary right now that you'd be like, you should check this person out.
That's an interesting question. It's sort of hard to say that someone is a generational talent in the moment.
Yeah, the way I frame these like questions, that I'm staying with the same setup for each one, because like obviously, Tupac would be like a great response, but I'm
and anyone who's
not
still
to make
alive,
it too complex.
There are people still alive from that time.
Yeah, I guess
still
answer how
albums,
you. I guess answer
suck.
How you will, but you know, maybe someone who,
except Nas, maybe.
Yeah, someone active. That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. It feels like rap is so dispersed right now, or like balkanized, that it feels like any one suggestion doesn't feel encompassing. Maybe if I was just trying to say like, hey, this is what the zeitgeist is, I would say Future, maybe, mm-hmm. just because it feels like Future is the sort of midpoint between a lot of pop or rap's pop and sort of underground influences.
I like the way of putting that, yeah.
He was in the Dungeon Family, and he's sort of held up by a lot of people as being like a fake rap, or like he's not really about the culture. He doesn't know the history, but that's not actually true. He's been in rap for 10, 15 years now, and I also just think he's immensely talented.
Yeah.
As long as he's not with Drake. I would not tell him to listen to Future and Drake.
Is he ever actually with Drake, though, or is he just emailing him files?
Yeah, don't they?
I'm sure they've been in the same place. Poor Future, just getting hit up by Drake every time he's in Atlanta to go to Magic City. At this point, Future's just like, oh, okay, Drake, I guess I'm going to throw some ones. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's
Tuesday, Drake.
Yeah.
I got lean to drink.
The fourth question of this is kind of the antithesis to that, in the sense of if you were talking to someone who's kind of very well-versed in the game... Why do I keep saying in the game? Like,
I have no idea, but I like it.
Yeah,
because it represents the now.
Because the answer
is
the game.
Game. Because the answer
to all of them.
I've set it up each time, and it was supposed to be the game. If you were talking to somebody who's very well versed in hip hop, who's somebody who's around right now that you'd recommend?
So someone you're saying
kind of
someone
like a deep cut,
like a deep cut.
I feel like you've already mentioned a lot of names. So
yeah, and
I
feel like
know,
the Young Thug example was a very, the way it, like you kind of gave the answer almost set this one up. But
someone who's deep, I would say, if they're into West Coast rap, I would say if they haven't heard them, I would check out G Perico or Draco. G Perico is sort of they're both sort of like same two sides of the same coin. G Perico is a little more like YG in that he sounds like older gangster rap. He has a very wet looking Jerry curl. He once performed still bleeding from a gunshot wound to his hip.
Holy shit.
He's tremendously talented though, and I would suggest his last mixtape, Shit Don't Stop. Draco the Ruler sounds more like the mustard side of YG, and that he's a little more poppy, and he has like this crazy slang that doesn't. It sounds almost more like E-40 than it does any other West Coast or like any other LA rapper. He's currently in Men's Central Prison right now, but his release I hope is imminent. He has a few mixtapes. I Am Mr. Mosley, 1 and 2, and there's a third one. I can't remember what it's called. Mr. Mosley is his slang for lean. But he has this really strange sort of between-the-lines flow that if he stays out of trouble, I think he could be a huge star. The mixtapes are mastered so poorly that they're almost unlistenable in parts. But that's absolutely someone I would suggest people listen to.
I like that. I personally haven't heard of I haven't heard that before, so I want to go home and check it out.
Yeah, it's spelled Draco, D-R-A-K-E-O, which is maybe the worst name for search engine optimization. But he insists that he had that name before Drake, the rapper, was popular.
Okay, if it matters, just in case I got a rock and roll pussy. I'm not with all that pop music. If I need a turn of tempos into some mics. That chopper make you go, nigga, I'm a bully breaker. Who the fuck you think he should? That chopper make you go, that chopper make me go, nigga, I'm a bully breaker. Who the fuck you think he should? That chopper make me go,
I don't want to go down this road, but what do you think of YG's new song? Because I feel like it was hyped up as like DJ Mustard, YG back together.
Red Friday?
I'm not going like, no, his new, is that what it's called? No, it's like Pop It, Shake It.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
Oh, yeah. Do you hear it?
I will say that I'd be more interested in Lil B and Young L linking back together than Mustard and YG.
How do you feel about Lil B overall as like an artist and a person?
As a person, I think he's a terrific human being. As an artist, I like that he's trying things, but I also think that he has more fails than successes, and when you put out as much...
I was about to say, that's kind of inevitable when you put out that much music.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you put out as much as him, though, that like those losses, in a sense, get magnified even greater than... So like, I like some stuff, but it's very select stuff. Like, I didn't like Rain in England, for example. That was...
Lil B's an interesting character. I
believe the curse is real on Kevin Durant.
He has too many curses. It feels like it feels like when you curse the entire NBA, you're bound to hit once, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Zach Randolph's hurt. Lil B has shit with Zach Randolph.
Yeah.
No, I think he's an interesting character. There's really no one else like him.
Yeah.
I don't like the curse. That feels very unbased to me. It's cursing someone. I like select Lil B tracks. I don't really know his discography well enough since it's
I don't think you could possibly.
Of songs, yeah.
I'm sure there's some person out there that is like knows
a spreadsheet.
But kind
songs.
Of like how like I know that for Game of Thrones, there's some guy that George R. R. Martin like told everything to, and he like George R. R. Martin will like check in with this person to make sure to like reference things to make sure that he's writing them correctly and like
hey and any like Live from Red Lion sure fans out there who have
which I'm sure in Pakistan
our,
we have some friends out there who we make sure
I heard you guys joke about this before. Do you guys actually have fans in Pakistan?
We don't know if they're real or fake at this point.
It could be a click
guys,
farm.
Yeah, if you guys are real
farm, but it was like kind of it was real in the moment, so I
It's still real to you.
Basically, yeah. We spent like however much money, $5, maybe.
Promoting around. And I think
on a Facebook post. And all of a sudden, like likes from Pakistan started flowing in.
My theory
was like.
But I think
there's a whole scam with Facebook.
Maybe you guys should start addressing more Pakistani issues. To
yeah.
to
well, if you
want to
talk measure.
Measure P for Pakistan.
Yeah. You were trying to.
I was trying to think of a Pakistani letter, and I didn't. I don't know. They
yeah,
speak English.
I don't know.
I've researched. I've seen the Wikipedia.
Say how much of the market is already saturated with the Americanized ads versus if like somebody were to try and advertise in the market and on Facebook on the Facebook platform in Pakistan.
We think
like,
Facebook's running a giant scam.
I think it's like a giant scam. Somehow, and I don't know if it's them, but I think there's click farms that somehow get rewarded in a sense, and they try and like build up.
But
bots.
It's not like we're buying the
but
bots.
But also that they're like it could be a mix of like people seeing it and liking it, and then like this weird click farm phenomena.
So shout out to all our listeners in Pakistan,
and,
Philippines.
No, if you're listening now and you're real, not the bots.
You guys have any Laotians? Any
we'll
Burmese listeners?
We got. Probably a couple Burmese. We got South Korea. We got Netherlands. Shout out to Den Haag. All across the U.S.
If you're looking for a good Burmese restaurant, I have a suggestion in the San Gabriel Valley.
Oh, yeah.
The name just slipped my mind, but they're always showing Fox News, which makes me think that they're like conservative Burmese people. I don't know enough about Burmese culture to know like why they would have a restaurant amidst a bunch of other Chinese restaurants. But Burmese food is really interesting. It's sort of like a midpoint between Chinese and it feels like Indian. They have a lot of curries and these kind of crazy, nutty salads. Like, I don't mean nutty as in crazy. Like, they have a lot of nuts in
them.
Yeah. And, they do fermented tea leaves, too. Fermented tea leaf salad.
Ooh.
Also, shout out that.
It's interesting.
It's apparently great for you. It's supposed to be healthy.
Yeah.
There's a place, I think, called Myanmar by Silver Lake and Sunset.
It's apparently quite loud. I've never been there.
And have you guys ever had mangosteen juice?
Mangosteen's the next big thing.
Yeah, it's I've been talking this for
a
while.
Is that a Jewish mango? It's like mangoberg.
That's mangostein. I don't know. No, I'm.
Please. Enlighten us.
It's just great juice. It's
it's very sweet.
Apparently, popular in Philippines, which we have Facebook followers in Philippines
too. Shout out the Philippines. A lot of Filipinos in LA.
Yeah. Yep. And they have it at some Filipino restaurant near my old apartment, and it's probably 90% sugar with no nutritional value, but it's one of the most delicious juices I've ever had.
Tastes like straight up like grape.
Yeah, it's soda.
Processed
it's like
grape,
soda.
Juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though.
And I think if we brought it to the U.S., we could have a huge thesis.
And I think, I remember we had a Lyft driver once, and it's like my family owns a mangosteen farm, and it was like literally one of those times that I felt like opportunity pass out at my feet. It was equivalent to when Will and I were into tennis for a week, and this guy, and we were talking about tennis at this.
What happened for that week? What happened in that week that got you in and out of tennis?
I think we were talking about Infinite Jest. I don't even think we were reading it yet, but I think we were talking about it. And this guy, and we're like, we should be playing more tennis. And this guy overheard us saying that at a delicatessen. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the pro at tennis shop at this one. He's like, oh, you guys
talking
about
tennis?
I got to
get the top delis of LA, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm a pro at this. Like, I run the shop at this one place around town. And we could have easily been like, that's amazing with you. But all we said was, oh, cool. And we that was another opportunity missing our feet. I think the mangosteen thing is something that we shouldn't let slip. And we should really ride this all the way to the bank.
We'll write a mangosteen sketch coming up soon.
Visit audibletrial.com/inthepoints to download a free audiobook of your choosing from Audible. That's audibletrial.com/inthepoints. Visit audibletrial.com/inthepoints. Download yourself a free audiobook from Audible. That's audibletrial.com/inthepoints.
One of the underrated things about LA are Filipino and Armenian populations.
Yeah.
I mean, Glendale is probably my, I don't know if
second largest Armenian population outside of Armenia.
So I will say it's funny coming off the 101 going north, coming to the Santa Monica exit. There's a sign that says, it says Little Armenia, and then like every restaurant you see is like Mexican.
Yeah, a lot of those signs,
because it's like East Hollywood. Yeah, yeah.
There's
a
little Bangladesh too up by like Chi-town. Yeah.
Did you growing up in Silver Lake, did you go up to Glendale for like your chain stores when you need the chain stores?
I would say that a lot of my childhood shopping was spent in the Glendale Galleria.
Yeah.
Damn, which is a really depressing place. I would not suggest going to the gallery under any circumstances.
I don't know. I'm actually a huge fan of Glendale, especially living here. It's so close.
Especially the Shake Shack.
Yeah. It's like anytime, if you ever need a chain store, it's just right up the road in Glendale. Well, I'm living in Glendale, north of Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm living in Glendale, north of Los Angeles.
I would also suggest going to the park and playing basketball with Filipinos, because it's a style of basketball unlike any other.
What's the Filipino style?
So this is actually kind of a documented phenomenon. I don't want to sound like racist.
Yeah.
But I've talked with Rafe Bartholomew, who actually wrote a book about Filipino basketball. And the style it's kind of chaotic and fast-paced, because Filipinos aren't very big people. Mm. And I would guess that part of the reason it evolved is because there's not a lot of standardized coaching there. And so it really feels like constant fast breaking, like really wild, really quick. Because they don't have like big men, so it's just like playing a game with 10 guards.
It's almost
where
like
no
soccer
one can shoot
or something. Yeah.
It's a very like hectic and chaotic, fast-paced style.
That's interesting.
No, so I just picture the ball being like whipped down and whipped and like pass, and like run and like break away and like pass.
I think it's crazy too how like different cultures adapt. Now I'm going academia right here, but
hit
I feel
him with the academia.
Yeah.
Basically, I feel like different. Like what we see of sports are just the very standardized, like NBA, the leagues that we know, NHL.
The PBA is a big deal. Philippines Basketball Association.
And do they play that crazy style in that?
I think they do. The way the PBA is set up is, I believe the winter season doesn't have any foreigners, and then the spring season does.
Oh,
and so Americans basically come in halfway through the year.
Interesting.
I've played basketball a bit with a guy who's kind of a star in the Philippines, who was fantastic. And he's considered, I think, sort of like a bigger Filipino. He's a shooting guard, and he's about 6'1 or 6'2.
Damn.
Which would be miniature by NBA standards.
You could be a star in the Philippines. We all could.
I mean, they're obsessive.
Be a center.
All the teams are sponsored all the teams are sponsored by companies. So there's teams like the San Miguel Beermen and the Kia Sorento.
Interesting.
But yeah, I was going to say, like, well, especially basketball, because it's a game anyone can play anywhere. Well, as long as there's a court. But that, like, different style, like, even style from, like, a pickup game is totally different than the NBA. So it's like your own, there's like folklore basically of like sports. And also just
NBA 2 Volume 2, shout out.
Yeah, shout out.
Stretch.
Great game.
Shout out to Osmosis.
Shout out to Ben Wallace. Shout out to the Pistons.
Yeah.
You can just
shout
jump up and go
back to NJ. Was that Volume 3?
There's 85. There's 85, 96, and then current day MJ.
Was that Volume 2 or Volume 3, though?
That was Volume 2.
Okay.
I had the two MJs.
Basically, I was going to say is I think the Korean, I read a lot about the Korean Baseball League.
A lot of bat flips.
Yeah. There was an ESPN article about it, but also just reading up about Korean and Japanese baseball leagues is crazy. Check out the Korean Baseball League.
Check it out.
It's just crazy how like the same sport can be drastically different because of the culture.
Right.
But we don't have time for that tonight.
I have a friend who played pro football in Germany.
Oh, shit.
A football or football?
American football.
Okay.
I guess I should say semi-pro football in a suburb of Hamburg. And I went and visited him while I was traveling around Europe. And it was shocking. They had a whole cheerleading squad. They had dedicated fans. And I went to his going-away party, which was held in a knockoff German version of a Subway. Not like Subway, the transportation system, but like Subway,
the
sandwich
restaurant.
Spot.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're like,
welcome
into Subway.
My least favorite restaurant.
Eat
sure.
Fresh.
It was surprising to talk with German dudes about the merits of various offensive systems in English. Like, they wanted to talk about the spread offense with an American.
Yeah.
Great.
That's funny. Should we hop into the Kit Kat quick chat? Yeah, sorry, I already got it broken out. So this is an ITP favorite. It's the Kit Kat quick chat. Basically, pretty simple theme. I'm just gonna ask you a question, and the idea is that I ask you a difficult question, and you have until we each finish a bar of the Kit Kat to finish it. So I'm just gonna break this out, and then once you know. We'll cut you off, and then after that, your reward is the other bar of the Kit Kat.
Rad, I'm with it. I like this.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody loves Kit Kats.
I just like the concept. I think that's clever.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. So tonight's question is. Tonight's question, really quick. They're kicking us out or closing us down. Excuse me. Okay. So we've kind of been talking about We were talking about sort of pontificating about the merits of rappers. And so my question tonight concerns Rick Ross. As our listeners may or may not know, he used to be a corrections officer in Miami-Dade County. He got a lot of shit for it coming up, and at some point people just sort of forgot about it once he started rapping well, I guess. But my question is, if there was retroactively a trial that was brought to the Supreme Court on whether or not he was worthy of being a rapper, how would Ruth Bader Ginsburg vote, and how would Neil Gorsuch vote?
And start.
Go.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg would vote not eligible. Neil Gorsuch would say that he should have been, a corrections officer because that's a more worthy
All right.
profession.
Wow, you wow. actually like got
yeah, that
a
was
legitimate answer out. Congratulations, that was probably the best. Best answer we've heard thus far.
I'm glad I can win, win as much as one can the Kit Kat quick chat.
You would have gotten it anyways, but that was good.
All right, we got shut down.
Yeah, I guess we got shut down.
Plug. What should we check out? Check out your site.
I don't know. Check out fashionthewest.com. Check out my very inactive Twitter. I don't know. Hit me up if you're in Lincoln Heights. I don't know. Email me at torymack@gmail.com if you want to chat.
All right.
You're in here.
You're first. All right.
I'm the biggest boss that you see.